had a few things spinning around I thought about discussing, but one thing that keeps coming back to, that I find it would be good for us to kind of maybe tackle a little bit tonight, and I'm really going to need your help more than just sitting here with a study for you, is trying to get a little bit more specificity on how, as Christians, what would be a proper response to this whole thing with the pandemic, whether you're vaccinated, anti-vaccinated, whatever, but having a witness so that whatever we say, we're going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, anytime you want to think through an issue, let me give you some tips on this. The first thing you do is you put yourself at judgment day, okay? And when you put yourself on at judgment day, everybody else is not there, it's you and God. What would God expect from me on that day,
right,
to have said, thought, or done? I mean, you think from that and you work your way back, and it's like, I've got to get to whatever I'm going to do here now, I got to get to be able to stand before God on judgment day and say, I did this for your glory based upon what I knew in the Word, or what I knew from the Word based on wisdom, because maybe the Word didn't really spell it out in detail. And so I put these things together, and it was for this, your glory. If it's not for that, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, check how it covers the water from it. You do all to the glory of God. And that covers all the nooks and crannies of anything that comes up, that I've got to be able to say and do that. And I just know I get requests, or I get people asking me, or within my family, outside my family, about, you know, what would you say? Someone says this, or someone says that, or, you know, someone, you know, whether it's a knee-jerk reaction about whether you did something or didn't do something, or whether, you know, you can have a response in such a way that, you know, you give a defense, even for the hope that's in you. And I didn't have really a lot of answers to that. I kind of want to put that out as almost something we can bang on in a workshop and say, I know a few things I can lay out, but it's maybe there's some, you guys have a lot of wisdom, and trying to think through maybe the folks on Zoom, so that whether someone is, I think Tom brought it up and it really triggered it with the OCD or whatever, you know, about how do you help somebody with that? What do you say to somebody like that? If I think somebody is really fearful, you know, here's a guy, you know, takes a shower with his mask on or something. It's like, it's got to be a line where someone, you want to go and you want to help them, you know, and then here's somebody else that's, you know, you think throws caution to the wind, and he's out there, you know, almost begging for it. And it's like, well, I mean, I get it. Reality isn't just going to be look through my eyes, and it's got to be, you know, the way I see things. On the other hand, there should be some things that we should be able to come to as a baseline and say, this is what every Christian should be able to at least think and say and do when it comes to whether it's anything in general or pandemic in specific. Because you got a feeling this thing isn't going to go away. I mean, I think there's another variant that they discovered over in Texas now. It's known as Delta one, it's a Lambda one. So we've probably got another round of all of this going to come about. Whether we get shots, you don't get shots, or we're going to be living off the shots. Or we got the whole thing of a government that no one trusts. And so there's a lot out there. And I'm not saying, you know, we should think this way or that way differently about the government or not. But it's one of those things that you want to be able to help Christians along in their walk, so that when they're serving the Lord, they're serving the Lord based upon things in Scripture. But at the same time, when it comes to making decisions like, well, if I don't get the vaccine, I can't keep my job. Cause and effect. Or you have, no, I'm not going to get the vaccine because that's the mark of the beast. Or,
allergic to it.
Well, Lord, whatever it might be. But so whether they get it or they don't, what I'm processing when I hear their rationale for or against is I'm still thinking of that judgment day. I'm not hearing that language talked about. What would God have you to do with that bad thing? I heard about your job, okay? I heard about your, you know, your athletics, or I heard about, you know, whatever it might be, but I didn't hear the connection that you didn't walk it back to. What is God wants you to do? And many times it might just be, well, Bible doesn't say anything about it. But Bible covers everything. I mean, 1 Corinthians 10:31 covers everything. Whatever you do it for the glory of God. And so if my motive doesn't rest there. And I don't hear that from folks. I start getting suspect that I'm probably not going to hear that from folks in other areas, regardless whether they're trying to buy a car or whether they're trying to fight a virus or they're trying to look for another place of employment, whatever it might be. If I don't hear it in one area or two areas, it's like I'm probably not going to hear it an awful lot. But having said that, and that sounds good and nice, how do you do these things for the glory of God so that you can give a defense for the hope that's in you, not the lost people, just your wife, your husband. You can say, I really feel this will glorify God. But I got to stand before God. Now, it might not for somebody else, but it's like, from what I see in scripture, this is what I think glorifies God. And I have to go down that road in order for me to glorify the Lord. And so what I'm trying to do is trying to get us more on the page to think along those lines when it comes to, I'm just picking on this pandemic with the vaccine and not taking it, where you've got a glut of information, glut of misinformation. You got people who want to, throttle the misinformation. And then it's like misinformation for one group is, right conspiracy for another group. And it's like, after a while, it's not a matter of any meaning, money, mo. And God doesn't, I don't think it's glorified for me just to kind of flip a coin. I'm supposed to get in here and know what I can know in order to make a well reasoned out decision, not just from the science, but also what will glorify God the most. So help me out. Give me some principles that you would use if you had to counsel someone came to you with my question and said, Rich, help me here. I don't know whether to get the vaccine or not. And I know you didn't get it. So he might say, tell me why you didn't get it. And of course, Rich might, and it kind of 99 times out of 100 goes into the medical reasons, scientific reasons, the distrust reasons over here. Or these people here have, lost their ability to be, listened to. I get all that. But if I'm trying to follow the Lord, one of the first ones Rich has got to be able to tell me is not so much, remember, you got to glorify God, so it doesn't matter what you do. No, it does matter how you choose. And it does matter that you can rest your choice, not just in the idea that I'm trying to glorify the Lord, but I can give a well-reasoned answer to why this is what I believe will glorify God better than this over here. And having said all that, I think, I find myself having to think it through. Right. I'm not vaccinated. I don't mind telling people that. At the same time, I'm not totally an anti-vaxxer. But at the same time, what I hear, what I don't hear, and what I see people do and don't do, has that influenced me to go this way or that way? Probably in some of those areas. But at the end of the day, I still have to ask myself the question saying, what if I took the vaccine and I could witness better to a group over here? Would it be for the kingdom of God expedient to do that? Or is it, you're just on the last, or you're just buying this beast, whatever else it might be. Is it one of those things where you find those people, was it the Moravians that sold themselves into slavery so they can witness to a group? Nobody believes in slavery. Here they are selling themselves into slavery, doing something everybody looks at and says, that's nuts. But it's like, I'm called to a higher calling in trying to win people for the kingdom. I'm not called to just my own personal liberties and my own personal pursuit of happiness and things of this sort, but might make sense to the neighbors. I'm here to propel forward the kingdom of God. And I can stop there and not say everybody's going run around naked for 2 years and preach like Isaiah did in Egypt either. I'm just saying that there are times where we'll do things or we'll make decisions for a greater good in the kingdom that will, in a lot of ways, look detrimental physically or family-wise, or even health-wise, because we really believe this is where God wants us to do whatever he wants us to do. So Miletus out there and just say, give me some principles. That, notice, I'm not asking for principles on whether to take the vaccine or not. I'm just putting that out there, looking at it as a background, saying, what kind of principles should we always work off of when we have to come up with these kind of decisions where you find people on both sides of the fence that we say, well, okay, here's some things that I think you need to consider. With the kingdom of God, the kingdom of men, kingdom of the devil, which we don't be a part of, but trying to be a good witness and at the same time trying to be valiant for the truth and not be stuck in any kind of lies over there.
Okay. What the correct answer is?
Well, what answer is?
Expand, you can take what God has moved a lot of people off. I'm older than most of you here in the hall. When I was a kid, polio was a big deal.
Polio, you said
polio. And everybody took a shot harder than me. Everybody I knew took the polio shot. I had a cousin who got polio, and that poor girl took so much surgery because of the polio. She's still crippled to this day. She's still alive. No one thought of it much in that way because I wasn't surrounded by it. Other than maybe your head was on it, but they took shots. I think to start school, you had to take shots. So I got everybody at home and did that. I don't know what the moral ground is on that. I watched my own community and so 5 foot people all passed away from COVID. And most of them are in Asia. And I took the shot. Did I do the right thing? I don't know. I really don't know. Like you mentioned earlier about the government, it lasts so much, you don't know whether they're telling you the truth or a lie. So the public has no way of knowing, and then scripture-wise, you're much wiser than me in scripture, maybe you could point out some things that I've overlooked. Because if I saw something in scripture say, don't take the shot, I wouldn't take it. But I don't want to answer. Yeah. I know that very few people died just taking the shot. What are the long-range effects?
Okay, good. That's going to generate a question for us.
I know that Paul said that above all, always keeping a clear conscience. Romans 14, whatever you do, whether you're eating it, wearing it, drinking it, saying it, thinking, whatever, you have to be confident before God. And so that's, to me, is a starting point. If I don't feel confident, then I can't do something. The Lord has pressed that hunger with me, and I need to be confident whatever I say, do, or think.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Anybody on Zoom?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
It's Jay. We face that dilemma right now, Barbara and I. We're in a high-risk group, and we're trying to decide whether to take the shot. Neither one of us got it. It's keeping us from going to church, which is not a good thing. But then people with the shot are getting the virus. And then I'm reading the last few days that new virus, the shot doesn't help you with that. And so it's a quandary. You don't know what to do. And then there's so many lies about it, particularly being with the Democratic Party. They seem to be pushing the heck out of this thing, lotteries and free everything. But I'm glad you're talking about it. I hope to get some wisdom out of it. But how God is glorified, I have no idea. Jan works at the hospital, as you know, and she sees some of the people getting the shot that work there and some not. And she feels led not to. And I guess that's where we are. That's all we can use is a sound mind and leading of the Lord. Other than that, I don't know what else to do.
I'm trying to tackle this a little bit. I'm not trying to come across dogmatic. I'm really asking more questions so that we can, Wednesday night team, kind of like Wednesday night, we kind of back and forth a lot so we can kind of come to some wisdom on some of these things. And this is a big one. I mean, they're thinking about locking down again and masking up again and, certain kids.
School's about to start.
Yeah, at 3 years old.
About to start, control everything, and they would be able to stop everybody and watch the kids.
Yep. All right, good. So one of the things I got already is that, you know, before the Lord, what would the Lord expect me to be able to, what boxes do I need to check before the Lord, whether I take it or I don't take it?
Well, today my daughter said that she was coming anxious because the resurge of the virus and the new one and everything. And so I'm thinking fear, the fear factor. If you could separate the fear factor. Am I fearful of what man can do, or, you know, fearful of what God, you know, expects? Or, like you're saying, the reason why I am, if I chose not to take the vaccine, is it because am I afraid, you know, or if I chose to take the shot, is it because I'm afraid of what I hear, of what I'm hearing on television, what I'm hearing, what people say, what I see, people that are taking the shot, they're becoming ill, or they're, you know, they die anyway, they get it anyway. So it's the fear factor. If we could just, like, separate, dissect it, am I more fearful of men, you know, their propaganda or their whatever, or am I more fearful of God? Is this what God would expect me to do, you know, like you're saying, for his glory? Am I letting fear of what men say override of my fear of what I'm going to tell God on Judgment Day, that I didn't trust him when he, you know, when I, like Jesse said, a clear conscience. I can, with a clear conscience, believe that God, fill in the blank, is going to protect me. Even if I do get sick, that's his will, that's his prerogative. Versus, well, I'm going to take the vaccine just in case they're not lying to me, or just in case, you know. One time I went into Walmart somewhere, and they were giving away free shots. And she stopped me at the door, and I said, I can't. And I just kept walking. And she never asked me why or why not. I just said, I can't. And I just kept walking. So it's the fear factor. Fear drives a lot of people, a lot of control. It's fear. And you got to decide who you're going to be more afraid of.
One more thing along those lines. The Lord expects us to look at any situation honestly and to look at it well. I have researched the adjuvants in these vaccines. And in my case, my brother and I are deathly allergic. In fact, if I tried to inject into children what they would inject into, I would go to jail for molesting kids or trying to put aluminum and other things in the people. Very toxic. But the point is, I've taken the time. Here's the point. I've taken the time to look at this, even researching my own mother's death with another RN. And I've got very clear answers. So the point is, look at your situation carefully.
Okay, I've come up with two things already in our discussion. The first one is, if I'm going to vax or not vax, the first thing I've got to be able to, the box I've got to be able to check is that I have to be informed before I do either one. But I don't think God's honored at all by you blindly taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine. The uninformed aspect of it is what, to me, does not glorify God, regardless. You've got to be able to say, when you go into position A or position B, I'm doing this with what I know and in belief to be right, healthy, whatever. But the bottom line is, and this is what God wants me to do, and it's going to honor him. But it's got to be based on, I say, information. It has to be informed, as they say, informed consent. But we're not omniscient. We're not going to know everything about everything. And so what that information level is going to be, that body of information that we're going to listen to and look to, and you're going to have to prioritize that. You have to prioritize, is it going to be Dr. Fauci's opinion versus frontline doctor's opinion? And so you have all these different people that are going to come in and weigh in on things. And so you've got to be able to, I'm sure Ron has to run across this, and you have to be able to prioritize whether this guy carries more weight in his conclusions than this guy. And look, my point is that at the end of the day, you still got to check the box that, okay, I believe I'm greater informed in the more right way to think than I was before. I got to think that way in order for me to give credence to my actions, even if they're not actions. I don't get back to that.
Well,
because I believe what I've learned now is kind of more convincing for me to go this direction. What I've learned now convinces me to go now more in this direction. And I can articulate it. I could defend it, so to say, if someone asked me, why didn't you got the vaccination? And why did you get the Pfizer and not the Moderna? And why did you? And you should be able to have an answer to that, not just one of those, I got to be vaccinated. I'm just, you know, got to have a job. So it's like, well, okay, got to have a job. I guess if you think offer you to kill people, you'd kill people to have a job. I mean, it's like you got to go a little bit deeper than that on the surface to know that this is why I'm supposed to be doing whatever I'm doing. You know, you've got to have that answer that shows that whatever we're doing things for the glory of God. And we're doing things that we believe in faith. And I don't believe you can walk by faith with the Lord and your mind over here is saying, that's wrong. That's just wrong. But I'm going to do it anyway and walk by faith. That's not how it's supposed to work. You've got to be convinced in your mind that this is the way to go for you to be able to honor and glorify God. That's the first thing I've heard. The second thing I've heard is you're not going to be able to serve God, whether you go this direction or that direction, if I make a decision based out of fear. I've got to have confidence that what I'm doing is, I believe, it's not only going to glorify God, but I believe it's also going to be the wisest thing for me to do to go here rather than here. And consequently, that confidence level goes up. And I work off of a more stronger faith than fear. Because when you do things out of fear, there's no faith involved. Like John says, you know, perfect love cast out fear. The whole idea of fear like that, it just kind of controls you and manipulates you. But that's not faith. I mean, you've got to be able to say, okay, I'm like your cousin or nephew or whatever. It's like, hey, that's whatever his decision is, even if it's not to be back, it's like, that ain't the way to handle it. I mean, you can't call up in a fetal position in the corner and hide from the world and say, that's what I'm supposed to. God's being honored by me. Just saying, no, he's not. Not like that. I mean, maybe you need to become more informed so that you can stand and say, this is what I need to do. This is what I don't need to do. This is what I think would be more honoring to God. But the fetal position, just kind of escaping, that ain't going to be. Think about it. If I took that out of the pandemic thing and put it in some other area, it still wouldn't work. That wouldn't be a proper response. No matter what I'm supposed to be doing. If I'm Jeremiah preaching, hey man, you know, the Babylonians are coming. You can't get in a fetal position for all the corner there. You're going to have to say, what is the proper response for me to do with this impending calamity about the follows? Anything else?
Mark, what do you think, if you really have a conviction, and I have to think about this, do I really have a conviction about this or whatever? And if you have a conviction, let's think of one of worst possible scenarios. What if LSU decides that they're going to force us to be vaccinated or we lose our jobs? Well, let me tell you something. If I have a real conviction, then I'll have to lose my job.
Right.
And you have to think about that ahead of the game. If this is wisest, I have a clear conscience here, then you play it out to the end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if we can't go to the game?
All right.
I'll write that down.
Mercy.
So, Mark, is there anything like conscientious objector type of principle involved with the government and being able to reject that same on religious beliefs or something like that? Or do you have a little bit of that?
Just if they don't want
being able to deny
this kind of vaccine. That's not really yeah. I mean, dude, it just seems a whole lot bigger. And I guess, you know, you mentioned Jeremiah, and it's like, okay, Jeremiah, he had an answer because he had a standard. And right. So for us, what is our standard? You know, by what standard do we make these measurements? Do we make these choices? And we've got to find it somewhere in the Word of God. And so I got to figure out what it is. I mean, it's the element of freedom and being created in the image of God.
Okay.
And we're created in the image of God, and we've been given freedom from God, by God,
in Christ.
And, you know, our government, the situation right now, what it is obviously, you said it already yourself, everybody trusts the government. But, if let's say, just that as a standard, we can't find something in the Word of God, God's given us at least the idea that, you know, Romans 13, the civil magistrate, well, our civil magistrates came up with this thing called the Constitution that, you know, our government has destroyed and ignored. And it seems to me that's where we're at, is that it's an assault on freedom, and it's an assault on the kingdom of God.
Right.
if you read Psalm 2, if we believe Psalm 2 to be true, that the rulers and the kings of the earth, they take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed.
Right.
That hasn't changed.
Right.
Well, those kings and rulers are the ones who crucified Christ, and they continue to hate Him. And we are not, I mean, I as good as maybe some senator might be somewhere, or some congressman, everybody's got, my senator, my congressman. I'm convinced that none of them have our souls on their list of priorities. And, what should be our list of priorities is our soul and the souls of our neighbors and
our children.
Yeah, our children, our children's children.
Yeah.
And, I think it seems like it just seems like a much broader and bigger question than just say, should I get a vax or not?
You're right.
Because this is where what has happened is we've been trained. Okay, now this is me. This is my speculation. You can call me a conspiracy theory. We've been trained for so many years to say, the government is our friend. You know, the government will protect us. The FDA. I mean, they would never let a drug come out that would be dangerous. The government would never, do anything to harm us. The government, they don't want to control us. They want to protect us. And on, we've been trained like this for so long. And we're seeing the results of it. We're seeing the results of that, brainwashing, basically. And, you can call it conspiracy theory, thinking, whatever. I don't know of a conspiracy where, somebody's sitting in a dark room smoking cigars and they're all sitting around talking about how they're going to do that. But over this period of time, because the warfare is spiritual, and the principalities and powers are the ones who are moving men. If you want the conspiracy, it's in hell, and that's where the smoke is, and that's where their counsel that, they deceive men on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, like everything else, this is not to vax or not to vax. This is a spiritual warfare like everything else. If we believe that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation, we believe that the gospel is what saves men's souls, and if we believe that it's sin that separates men from God, we can see right there, that's where the issue is. Men love their sin more than God, and they want to have their sin and their lusts. They want to keep their lusts. And if that means money and power and they can go for it and grab it with control, they're going to do that. The scriptures lay that out for us. The scriptures tell us this.
Mm-hmm.
So now, with that kind of thing, then how do we bring that down to this idea of whether it's vax or not to vax? Well, as far as I'm concerned, this is just another symptom, if you will. This is another, this Paul says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. He says it is revealed, not will be. We know that eventually the wrath of God will be revealed in full. It will be poured out completely. But he says it is revealed, and this is where we're at. We're sin. It's revealed. People, the reason they sin is because the wrath of God is on them. I mean, you've gone over this with us in Romans 1. That Romans 1, the list there, we see it going on because it's God's judgment. It's his wrath being poured out on his people as he gives them over and reprobates them. This is what we're seeing. So all this is just part of it. And so it seems that, you know, the issue of it's going to come down to government mandates and forces and things like that. So that should be a clue to us that if the government has to mandate it, that we should be against it. It seems to be that clear, that simple, and that kind of thing. You know, because there are certain things, obviously, that God has given the government to do in Romans 13. They're supposed to protect, right? They're supposed to wield the sword. And they're supposed to wield justice. You know, they should protect the unborn, but we see that's gone. They don't. They murder the unborn, and they say it's legal. So we can see these things. And so when the government mandates something like this that's against the image of God, and you know, that would do really violence to souls, to me it's like, no, that's not of God. And that's my pure personal opinion. And
I put a verse up here in 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought with a price. I don't want to take it out of context, but he makes the point: do not become slaves of men.
Right.
And so he says this, of course. Here he's talking about how these people were called. Were you called as a slave? Don't fret it. You know, serve the Lord as a slave. He calls a free man. Don't fret it. In other words, then you need to understand if you're a free man, you're the Lord's sponsor, you're a slave. That's it. If you're a slave, you're really the Lord's free man. And so he's making the issue that mentally you should be able to worship and serve the Lord and to be able to, as he says in verse 24, remain with God in that condition in which he was called. You don't need to change your condition in order to serve God. Remember, there was a fine people like, well, you know, I had to divorce my husband in order for me to serve God. That's nonsense. Right. You get it right here. Now, you serve God right where you're at. Yeah, but you don't understand. I mean, I got saved last week, and my husband, he's a rat. And he's like, well, you got to serve the rat. I mean, you got to marry to a rat, and you got to serve the Lord by staying married to a rat. I mean, that's just how it is. And so this paragraph is meant to help people not try to think, I got to be in a better situation in order for me to be a better Christian. No, God can give you all the grace you need in the situation that you're in. So, I'll give you some background when he says, do not become slaves of men. And I think in that little context here, is the whole idea of becoming a slave of men is that we let men monopolize, giving them the authority over our conscience. You cannot do that. So the first thing I saw that, whatever decision you make, this has to be informed. Second thing we saw, that whatever we do, we can't do in fear. Now I'm saying, the good question is, am I being controlled or am I free? In other words, the authorities that be, as Tom is bringing out, if they all demanded now everybody be vaccinated, okay, how would I apply verse 23 here? Would I look at this and say, I don't go one way or the other, but since you came in and you've now tried to hamstring my conscience, I'm going to push back. I am not going to do it on principle only. In other words, it has absolutely nothing to do with now medicine or science or anything else. You're not going to be able to tell me what I can and can't do based upon my conscience before the Lord. Now, see, like Tom said, that's a bigger issue. Right. That has nothing to do with vaccination. That has everything to do with coercion. And we understand when that takes place, yeah, you're going to have a little revelation at that point. You're going to have to say, no, I have to do what's right before the Lord. Now, you don't have a command that says, thou shalt not be vaccinated in the Bible. It would be very easy to know what's in it. But this little passage here of becoming a slave of men. Now, whether those men wear funny hats and are in governmental positions where God gives them that ability to have power over men, show that, once again, they're the Lord's servants so that they can corral evil and, as Tom said, protect us from these things. But when they push outside the boundaries and they become a beast like you see in the book of Revelation, then we're not under mandate to listen to that beast. But here's a question I want to ask this. I'm going to push a little bit back on this. Is this question. What would it look like for us to, agree with the government on something? Or it's so easy to say, I mean, if the government says this, you know, it's going to be, they're a beast, it's going to be, they want, you know, they're taking you to chip. They have no interest in our well-being. It's just them. They want power. Yada, yada. I hear that. I believe that. At the same time, am I open enough discernment-wise that they came and said something, or they said, we want to do this. Am I able to look at it and just say, objective is him? Take a look at that. Maybe for once they got it right. Or maybe for once they're doing something actually to try to protect me in a real way. Or is it just, nah, sorry, I mean, you burned that bridge with me already. I mean, you can come here and tell me the sky's blue, and it is blue, and I ain't gonna believe it. Or is it one of those, you know, I have to look at every situation that comes in and evaluate it and not just jump to a conclusion and look at it for what they're saying, based upon what they're saying. Or is it like, I'm sorry, I mean, kind of like, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, you know, shame on me. You don't get another bite of the apple here. It doesn't matter what you say you're going to do for us. I'm never going to believe it's going to be in my best interest. Now, is that godly to have versus, no, I should listen to every time they say and evaluate it and look at it and say, nah, that's still, you know, you're still batting zero here with me. Because it doesn't match up with scripture, it doesn't match up to
the
universe.
Well, the thing about that, the one thing that's left out of what you just said is the evaluation. The evaluation has to be with the word of God.
Correct.
So
oh, yes.
You've got to have a standard. So you correct. Said the government comes and says we're going to do this. The government came and said tomorrow that they're going to shut down abortion mills. And the reason, because it's murder. Well, to me, I could go to the scripture and find sure. This is in line with scripture, I would be all for it.
Sure.
That would be there. Right. So again, you know, by what standard do we make these judgments? We've
correct.
Got to go back to the word of God. God's law trumps anything
right.
that man has, you know,
right.
and
the man or government.
Yeah.
Matter. It trumps everything.
That's so,
good point. Yeah.
So we're there. Because the vice president yesterday said that it's biblical and loving to wear a mask and get the virus. I mean, get the
Oh, really? Right. You're when you wear the mask, you're protecting others. That's a loving thing to do. And now he's going to pontificate about how God's going to be honored by you wearing a mask versus you not. So now it's going
to be.
Yeah.
So my
yeah,
but back to Tom's point and I think the whole thing is what's standing?
What's standing?
The Bible. Defines
what
real love is. So
correct. But when they push back on you and say, how can you, or maybe, look, I try to help those who are ignorant or whatever, and they say, I don't understand. I mean, to me, it would be more loving to wear that for people thinking that you're going to help them, or if they see you with a mask, it's going to make them feel better about it. Why do you think it's, in your perspective, why do you think it's more loving to not wear that? Or to not get vaccinated. Why would you think it would be more loving to not be vaccinated when you could be carrying the COVID and things of this sort?
Yeah.
How would you respond to on the loving thing?
Yeah, well, so it's two dimensions. The scripture Jesus said, you love God, and you love your neighbor.
Right.
We differ, in their definition. I don't think, just back to the statement, I don't want them telling me that I'm not being loving.
Why?
Because I'm not doing something.
Right. And also goes back to number one on the informed consent thing, on the informed decision thing. They're working off of a paradigm of what's safe and what's unsafe, what's contagious and what's not contagious. And so they work off of that, and then they see you not working off the same paradigm, and then they, well, you're being foolish, or you're being reckless with other people's lives and things like this. Well, I know I could go back to that the different paradigm and say, no, I disagree with your starting point, your premise on what is contagious and not. I mean, I could actually make a case for why vaccinated people actually spread the coronavirus more than unvaccinated people. Now, that, of course, that becomes a complete shock to this guy because he's working off a different premise. And so, do I have all day to tell him that or show him the article or show him, go to YouTube getting it? I mean, I might not. But, I mean, it might be somebody in my family. I just, when you recognize that a person's going to make judgment calls on you based upon their knowledge base, good or bad, you know, woeful or, you know, informed, I get that. I understand that. But like you said, the verse 23 here is, at the end of the day, I have got to call this shot
right
for me, no pun intended, on how I'm going to go down this road. Am I being, question is, am I being controlled by the authorities that bid? I mean, to me, it should also be obvious that if I'm going to answer that question, not being controlled, you need, it's a little deeper on the word control, you need to understand basic ingredients of being controlled and manipulated. If they have to bribe me with a $1 million lottery to get a shot, if you can't see that as suspect, that's suspicious. Look, they might have great intentions. And let's say they're right. It's better to take it. That ain't the way to do it. That's a manipulation tactic to get you to cater to a lust for money in order for you to take a vaccine. It's like luring a kid in with a lollipop to do something that is like, this is dangerous here. Why would they need money to get me to do something that should be common sense to do, right? But it's not. They're using, now, they can't get the money and sweeten the deal here. They can't put the carrot out there. So they're going to put the stick out here and say, well, then you can't go to the game, or you can't have a job, or we're going to fire you from Southern Methodist over here in Houston. And you're going to, you know, whatever else might take place, we're going to be draconian now. And if you're going to, and then if you're going to spread misinformation, heaven forbid, you're going to be deplatformed and all this. And it's like, whoa, I'm seeing some bangs and claws come out. I thought these people were all, hey, we want to give away money. But now that all of a sudden they want, you know, blood and vengeance. So when I see this type of tactic being used by the government or by people, not maybe not the government, maybe just corporations. Once again, in the back of my mind, I'm saying, that's manipulation. Why would you have to manipulate if something was good on the surface?
And with that in mind, I mean, the idea of thinking clearly on the idea of honesty, integrity. For example, I take a number of vitamins and things, and a lot of it is preventative. The government is not willing, and Tom Hoover's been censored, I've been censored, a number of us have been censored, in the area of preventive medicine. And I feel great. It's incredible. But the point is, the government, whatever they are not willing to talk about preventing disease. And we, and any real doctor knows that preventing something is better than fire control. And to me, that's a red flag.
But
I mean, you can't even get a grant from the government if you wanted to compare Amish children. Comes from a Christian physician, neurologist Russell Boylan. If you try to compare Amish children versus vaccinated kids, you won't get the grant because they know that these kids are the healthiest kids in the country. But of course, they're not very loving because they won't take the shot. You get what I'm saying?
All right, I got three good principles. This is good, guys. Yeah, Joe.
This is not something that's new.
Correct.
When I was a young man, you had to register for the draft. If you were fortunate enough to get conserved, first thing they did when you got to the place that you had to serve at, helped you for the shots. You didn't. You still have a choice right now. I don't know how long that's going to last. But you didn't have any choice back then, and I never heard a thing about it. So I'm curious, what's the difference? I mean, yeah, I didn't want to get shots in my arm, but the natives do it.
Yes, but let me say this. Three or four shots I've had before I was an adult at Northwestern, I had three shots in my life, probably. Now it's between 75 and 95, and they're giving most of those before they're age two. I mean, the amount of aluminum and mercury the kids are getting, they're killing their microglia cells. But anyway, sorry about the sermon.
No, anybody on Zoom, I don't want to leave you out. or Tim Holmes.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, Fred, real quick. I got Tim to say something to your next. Go ahead. Okay, Fred, you go ahead. We're going to let you go ahead.
Okay. I have to put all my trust in the Lord. I don't trust the government, okay? It's just that simple. Why are they pushing everything like this? Why is the big push on an experimental drug that the FDA hasn't approved, but they're pushing it? I think it's all a control deal that they're doing. What's in this drug? What's in this substance that they're injecting everybody with? I put my trust in God, in the Lord. And, you know, everything is predestined. And if it's predestined me to catch, me and my wife catch this virus, it's so be it. And, but I go along with, John MacArthur about, a little girl asked him in a Q&A, I don't know, Pastor, if I should take this, vaccine or not. And he told, the little girl that, well, let's see, the vaccine, when you take it, covers you 94%, maybe somewhere in there. But yet, if you don't have it and you catch the virus, you have a 99% chance of survival. So there's the answer right there. So I'll put my trust in God, and that's the way it's going to be. I mean, I don't see any other better way of doing it.
Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Jim.
It's important to stretch of the heard it said before that the judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. And my main big umbrella with everything that you're trying to talk about today is about the salt that is meant to be thrown out in the street to kill weeds. It's loss and savor. It's no good for anything else but to keep the weeds down on the island so that it puts thorns and stuff and not tearing at our feet while we walk in the way. And for you to take a survey of the churches today and stuff, of this pyramid, you know, of all these round stones and whatnot, I guarantee you could almost get to the top of that pyramid of people that don't believe God orchestrated the death penalty and civil government right after the flood. I mean, these milestones, these big things and whatnot to where, you know, outside of the people we know and stuff, and even to ask you, but what you were talking about being slaves to men is referred to in Romans 2 as party approval. Well, and you don't get no more party approval than a Federal Reserve note. You might, as I say, you might have given your heart to Christ, but your butt belongs to the government. They take half of everything you produce, and they waste it. I mean, like I've said before, just in our short little lifetimes, 55 years, our Supreme Court has become pro-racist, pro-murder, pro-theft, pro-ignorant. They don't know what the illegal means. These are judges sitting on the Supreme Court of this country and don't know what illegal means and that they should be addressed accordingly. I mean, the law is on his head. And now this man comes up and says there's 87 genders. And what did this man, one guy, one judge, what did this guy bring to the table? Absolutely nothing. Give him, you know, put your evidence. Let's see it. Show it to us. You know, bring all these freaks and perverts in there and whatnot. Yeah, okay. This is legit. No. How'd they come out of the womb? I mean, you get back to base science and whatnot. The whole thing of the church being the town. As to being shown to be in weakness and whatnot, using military equipment against peaceful people and annihilating them because the pastor was supposed to be crazy. And the one thing I asked the person in the church when he, you know, took their side, I said, well, did you think they were correct? No. I said, well, what makes you think he was crazy and the loon, this, that, and the other? Oh, well, we know that they told him. I said, who's they? I said, second thing I want to ask you, those 85 people, other than David, those little children and stuff, they didn't deserve their day in court, huh? Using military equipment against American citizens. And that was 20 years. And when I said to him, oh, so we're going to start killing the children because of the sins of the father, I said, what am I saying? We started doing that 20 years earlier, Roe versus Wade.
So help me out, then. You're saying, I'm taking from everything you're saying, that government should never be trusted. I'm summarizing on this whole thing on that.
These are the founding documents of those men that stood up against the largest empire on the face of God's earth. They said, you are to alter, abolish, or separate from such government. And for what reason? Give me the two reasons in that 202-word document that they wrote in the preamble. You know what the reasons were? Because of your safety and your happiness. Not having a big car and a big house and being prosperous or whatnot. Safety and happiness.
Okay, I'm trying to fit this with your back.
I said to Jesse earlier this morning at the same. So you know what we ought to be playing in our churches today? The speeches from the churches at the time in 1775. And to hear what these men had to say about the man's condition and whatnot. Could you see a Patrick Henry talking today? You talk about get canceled quick.
How would they give a speech about the vaccination?
Well, they can understand of what I'm talking
about.
Come
on, kind of narrative to that. With the context of the government or whatever.
What Claire said, you know what the big thing that they have that God says that we're not to do? Fear.
Okay.
That's the sword in their hand, fear. And like I said earlier, that they are, as Tom says, and they're supposed to execute judgment on wrongdoers and stuff.
Their role. That's
their
role.
And like I said several weeks ago, no, that's not what they're doing with the sword today. That's for me and you. That's for the law body. We're going to shackle you. When this person broke into your house or whatnot, did you take steps? Oh, you need to retreat first before you defend your family.
So let me ask you a question about what you're saying. So taking what you're saying, and I'm going to say the church at large, whenever the government tells us to do X, the church should say, we're not going to do it.
Not when it's something that God commands.
But that's my point. Because in this vaccination thing, once again, we don't have anything in the Bible that says vax or don't vax. We have things in the Bible that talk about, yeah, like Tom talked about. And Chris, the whole idea, by what standard? This is a standard. We're going to obey God. And so when we go down that road to obey God, and I know God has given us a government, we understand his purpose and everything, and that they're to protect. And so when they come in and say, hey, we're protecting, and I have to be discerning and say, well, are they protecting?
No.
Are they not protecting? So that discernment process, not for me as an individual, like Tom said, I'm sharing my, but as the church at large, broadening now, and I'm expanding the conscience of the individual, I'm expanding the conscience of Grace Level Fellowship, and now I'm expanding the conscience of the church. And I'm saying, what's the conscience of the church to government in general when they come and say, think about pandemics or we're here to protect? You're right. It gets so broad, all I can do is go to scripture and say, okay, here's the bottom line. God gives governments to protect. We're told that Romans 13, when they become beasts, they're not protecting anymore. They're killing. They're doing the opposite of that.
Exactly.
And so when they do that, we are going to put that. We're going to say, no, we're not going to obey. We're not going to listen to you. We're going to serve God rather than men. And so what I'm doing with that scenario, knowing I got a beast in Revelation and I got a servant in Romans, and that in between there, I've got to be able to discern when that thing moves from servant to beast or back to servant to be able to say, okay, among Christians, then you're going to get this popularity of all this. Well, we're supposed to just, in a fetal position and listen to everything the government says. No, that's an extreme position. That's not of the Bible. But then you got, on the other hand, it doesn't matter what government, if any on any planet, we're going to take up arms and go against the government. Like, stop. You can't do that. It's kind of like, okay, wait, what's going to be, I got to be biblical here as an individual, but also as a church and say, and I'm just picking on the vaccination thing. And I'm like a lot of y'all. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. But at the same time, I got to have a response to that that's biblical that says, and here's why I'm not responding the way you want to respond. I'm responding this way because I follow this standard that says for me to do this versus this. And so when I do that, I think I have a more of a reasoned out response. I'm not acting out of fear. I'm not being a slave to men. At the same time, looking at Daniel as kind of, you know, I should also be able to say to the government and be able to say, well, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, I'm not going to be a slave to any man or to the government. But on the flip side, I'm the best friend you'll ever have as a Christian. I'm salt and light in this earth. I will never do things that goes against this Bible to attack you. In other words, I won't steal from you. I won't kill you. I won't lie to you. I will be godly. I will be like Daniel was. I mean, I don't think Daniel's trying to be conniving to Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to be this, the godly man he's supposed to be. Now, if that means pushing back and saying, I can't do this. You've got to throw me in the lines then. I mean, I get that. You're going to get that too, for sure. But I should be able to tell that guy there who, you know, he's a shark. He swims with the sharks. That, look, I'm not a shark. You should be able to trust me when you trust anybody else. If I tell you something, you take it back. Because it's God's honest truth. I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. But it's God's honest truth. So I should be able to work kind of like both sides of the fence there and saying, I'm somebody that you should be, man, if I had anybody in my cab, it'd be this guy. I mean, I could trust this guy. I could say, well, my door's unlocked to this guy. But on the other hand, I got to remember that when I start imposing this, or whatever, this guy's not going to come along with me. This guy's going to say, I can't do that. It goes against God's law. So both are in play. I'm just saying we can so teeter-totter this so much to the other side that we're all waiting to get thrown in the lines then because we're not going to obey some Caesar kind of thing. That on the other hand, I could get this other side here saying, stop me. I'm also a testimony of salt and light to the things that are good and true. Am I analyzing it bit by bit to say, oh, no, that there is godly, the abortion thing. That part, God says, we should do. He's always said
that. I think, Mark, one of the problems with the thinking is that there's an assumption, it seems maybe I could be wrong, that you've got that they are going to agree with you as what is good.
Right.
And they don't agree with what we would say is good. We could tell them, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to kill you, and all this. You know, and I mean, there are some situations where that's exactly what they want to do. So what we're going to say is good, we know we're right now, we're seeing it openly, the Isaiah 5, that men are calling good evil and evil good.
We're seeing that.
And so for us to assume that just because we are to be the best citizens and good citizens, faithful citizens, you know, I think it's a little naive to think that, you know, I'm going to be able to tell the governing officials that, and they're going to go, oh, okay, well, we'll leave him alone. I just, when it gets to the point where they're wanting you to get in line, I don't think they're going to care what you say. They're just going to say, get in line.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make a utilitarian part to it to make it practical. I was just saying, that's just who we are. We are going to be kind of self-life.
We should be, regardless. And it gets to that point where, you know, in conscience sake, many of us will have to make a decision. Where do we submit? How far do we submit? You know, do we submit to whatever punishment they need out, to whatever discipline they need out?
Right.
Or does it come to the point where, like our founders, where we take up arms and say, boom. You know, because to me, it's really getting really close to, you can't help but think that the bullets are going to fly sooner or later. I don't want to see that happen, you know, but the United States of America is the only nation right now probably that, you know, still has
Second Amendment.
Yeah, the Second Amendment, although they want to destroy that. But the point I'm getting at is that, you know, the guns and this sort of thing that are available that aren't available, say like in Australia, they took them away.
Yeah.
And those people are getting locked down and they can't fight back. You know, there are things that are just not right. So again, to assume that just because I tell the government I'm a nice guy and I'll be a best citizen, I just don't know that that's going to fly.
Yeah, I'm not using it as a tool to say, hey, he'll like me. I mean, I'm not saying put my knees to an end. I'm just saying, we're going to do the right thing.
Yeah. That's just an Arminian party.
We oppose them, or we're like Daniel, who's in that court. I mean, I think that he could trust Daniel with his own family.
Well, I think that's my point. Yeah, we can see that. Same with Joseph.
You know,
but again, Joseph sold the people into slavery too. So I mean, you know, it just depends on where we're at. And it seems like our country right now, we're, you know, different places in Scripture. I mean, Isaiah 5 seems to be one, you know, yep. Calling good evil and evil good. And yep. A lot of other things that Romans 1, we seem to be there. And so the Scriptures, they are our standard. God's law has to be our standard.
Right.
And that's why it's so difficult. The situation, but again, it's just a symptom again of where they brought us. They found a tool that works. They found something that works, and I don't know. It's my opinion.
That's a good one.
I want to say that
I think
we have to look at the Word of God. Ultimately,
right.
I think everybody agrees with that.
Right.
The Word of God is our standard.
Right.
What does God say, you know, about this? And because there's nothing in there that says, thou shalt not bath, so thou shalt not, you know,
right. Whatever.
So
we got to work off of those principles.
And so I've got a lot of questions as to, you know, why.
Yep.
And, you know, when the government... I'll be very charitable tonight. I'll just say, when the vice president says something like that, to me, that's almost blasphemous.
Right.
When I don't speak to people with dignitaries, this number two person in our country would use the Bible as a leverage, as a tool, you know, to try to convince people, that's also what you said earlier, that can you not see that manipulation? Can you not see what they're doing?
Right.
You know, that's where we're at.
I think anyone disagreeing with that. I'm just, you know, once again, I'm just trying to put down some bullet points, boxes that we go through when we have to make a decision, like on the vaccine thing. Let's say all of a sudden with Rich, everybody at Turner needs to be vaccinated or he can't have a job. All of a sudden he's unemployed. And so the church comes together and says, well, we need to help Rich out. I might have people push back and say, we should have gotten vaccinated. Well, I mean, that's a fine way to stop. I mean, I got to
protect
a person's conscience, but at the same time, here are some of the boxes that I want to be able to teach people to go through and say, look, you didn't get vaccinated and you went down like a checklist here. I mean, you're not a slave of man. You didn't do things out of fear. You did things with information, informed consent. You thought of your neighbor kind of thing, and you believe this is the right thing for you to do before God. I'm going to have this back every day of the week and twice on Sundays. I mean, simply because that's what you do in those situations. Now, vaccination just happens to be the hit, you know, flavor of the day. But
right.
It's going to be in some other area maybe later on. But that's what you do in those situations. And it's like, he did what you would expect a godly man to do in that situation, working off of that scene.
Chris has something?
I know Rich has something.
Oh,
Rich.
No.
Chris challenged
something. I'm thinking. The church is to keep the unity, right? On the peace. I think that's something that we maybe try in the future, because I know that I don't. Let's say, to pick on Jack for a second, because he's the main lead to talk about. I may not come to the same conclusions as Jack as to how I may treat things like the vaccine.
I may not come to the same conclusion as Jack as to, I think that probably now is the time for us to very actively protest against the tyranny that will be very heavy-handedly on us if things aren't occurring in the next few years. We, the people, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, we give the authority to the dignitaries that they're elected, and they turn around and tyranny and try to be us with what we've given them in the first place. So God has instituted our nation. You know, it's easy to say in times of trouble, well, you know, communists are under the rule, they are God's sovereign, and you know, and in that government they may have a different posture that they have to take to that different government that God put them on. But God gave us a constitution and a freedom and a responsibility to keep the trust of that, to keep that intact. I have that responsibility. Me, Mitch Hopkins, has a responsibility to keep these politicians. They work for me. I don't work for them. I pay their paycheck every month. They try to subvert all that and make it into a tyrannical sort of authoritarian, autocratic sort of thing. Now, I think that means something because God did that. God did this stuff. Now, we slaughtered Indians? Maybe. You know, we did, but we're here, and this is what we have. By God's sovereign ordination, this is what we have. I don't think passivism is an option. When we're given by God a government that we have, that we're going to lose. If we don't act, we're going to lose what God gave us. God gave it to us. I mean, it's no, if we believe anything about sovereignty, you know, it's not easy to get in saying about sovereign things that aren't controversial or whatever. But I don't know. Now, this is my posture on this. I'll understand. However, then we get to in the church. We're to do good to the household of God. We are to be at peace with one another. We are to bear with one another's burdens. We are to understand there are weak and there are strong. There are some that are going to eat meat. There are some that are going to eat vegetables. There are some to take the vaccine. There are some that aren't. Various kinds of things. I think the first thing, I'm trying very hard to pray for this end because I can pick camps. I can even try to set them up. Not just take camps. I can try to set up camps, okay? And I can be pretty firm on that. But I do need to try to understand and forbear with those who may not understand or may understand things different. I may think that they're wrong. But I have a burden and responsibility to care for the weak in the faith, right? You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 1 at the end, you know, when we get understanding and we get knowledge and we get wisdom, it's a vexation and a sorrow to the soul. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is bliss. I mean, ignorance is something that's not bliss, especially when it leads you down the wrong road. So it is vexing and this sorrowful to the soul to see all this stuff. And the people that just want to hide their head in the sand with the ostriches and just make believe, you know, the Marxists are not attempting a strong takeover of this country right now. If they want to hide their head in the sand and deny that reality, I'm not going to say let them. I'm going to say they're not helping. Okay, I'm just saying they're not. That's my opinion. They're not helping. God gave us to be good citizens. God gave us our constitution. God gave us a government to live under with a responsibility to keep the trust and deliver stuff. And so I think we disobey and dishonor God. And when we stand before him and say, what did you do with that government I gave you? Well, I swatted it away. I just let the Marxists take it in 2020. You know, okay, I'm
speaking a little bit out of our own, but we do have opportunities to affect this slide downward. Different levels, but perhaps Friedrich Bonhoeffer. I read a book 6 months ago. I was conflicted through the whole book in my conscience, in a lot of ways. I was conflicted through. But, okay. I think he was a very honorable man. He did what his conscience drove him to do. And from what I gathered, if he didn't take the course of action he did, even to the point of desiring to take Hitler's life, he would have been sinning against God. Now, Corrie Ten Boom, on the other hand, they hid Jews. Okay? They hid some Jews. If she didn't do that, she would have been sinning against God. She didn't do it. There were others who took different positions in it. Okay? There's others that may not feel so strongly as I do about maybe what I need to maybe get involved in. In the church, my primary obligation with my brothers and sisters is to protect the value of their conscience before the Lord. I may think they're wrong. I may think they're ill-informed. I may think they're really stupid. But I've got to respect their conscience. I may try to instruct that conscience and help them come to a different perspective. And I think that's all within iron, sharpening iron within the confines of the church and from the Word of God, right? From the Word of God. Now, I've talked. I don't know what rock I want to die on. I want to die on. I really want you in my mind. I want to die on the rock of Jesus. I want to die preaching the gospel to my neighbor. I mean, I really do. But I don't want to die not taking the vaccine. I'm not going to take the vaccine. By God's grace, I'm going to stand. But here, if I get into a choice where if I don't take the vaccine, my family's going to starve, that's different than if I'm getting my head off and I deny Christ, my family's going to live. I've got no choice.
Now, notice what Rich just did. He stated something that, for all practical purposes, he will go a certain direction. He'll go a certain distance, right. And then when it reaches a certain level, he'll reconsider, and he might get the vaccine because his family now is going to be on the chopping block. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If once again, the Word of God come in, if that's the conscience God's given him to be able to do that with that type of liberty. It's not a conviction. If it becomes a conviction, it's something you die for. When something becomes a conviction, you're going to die on that hill. If someone says you can't do this or you must do this, I'm sorry. I don't care if I lose my family and all the money in the world and all, everybody in the church dies as a martyr's death. I can't do that. That's a conviction. And so you can't change your conscience on that because you're not Lord of your conscience. King Jesus is. But there's a difference between a conviction and a I'm strongly persuaded kind of thing. I get that. But it just means that you get to a spot where, I got to start really thinking this through on this. I'll pick on the vaccination. You know, they're going to take my family away, imprison them in my camp, inoculate everybody, take my livelihood away, take all my money away, treat me as if, you know, I'm worse than the worst because I didn't get vaccinated. Lord, what would you have me to do? See, that's where the prayer comes in on that. Is this a conviction now that I'm willing to say, oh, I don't have to do it because I ain't going to live, and this is where I'm going to go? Great. If that's what it is, then I'm going to tell you that's what you need to do. And don't even look back and smile while you do it. And we'll be for you. And you'll be Antipas in the book of Revelation, my faithful witness, who died in Pergamum. So he's a martyr. Great. But at the same time, if I got another guy over here who doesn't think he's getting the mark of the beast or whatever, or doesn't think it's a conviction level, and he does something different, then how do I, you know, that's why the verse 10 comes in here on Romans chapter 14. I could see how a guy like that would judge another brother saying, right? That Rich, he's just a compromiser. Well, that guy, he's going to die in his sins and go to hell. I mean, he's just one of those guys that kind of like, you know, fell away when everybody was, you know, when they were taking Jesus away. You can't do that. You got to stay the course. That's how he sees things, black and white. You either here or you're here. And you're not there, then you're here. You're not for God. You're for the devil. That's it. This is how this thing is done. Where Paul brings in this stuff about days and eating meats and things, taking batches or not, and says, look, you're going to have people
they're going to be like this. Don't do this. Don't judge them. Don't hold them in contempt if they're like that. So he said, because notice, and gets back to my point at the end of verse 10. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Why did he bring that in? Because that's the last domino. You're going to have to give an account to God for everything that's in your conscience. And you can say, well, I just didn't have that strong a conviction. And God said, no, you did. God's going to win out on that day and say, you compromised. You should have died a martyr's death. You should have not taken the vaccine. You just went along with the crowd. You didn't follow me. I gave you a conscience to not take it, and you took it. And he's going to be the one that's going to be the arbiter on that day. On the other hand, it could be something different, and he's going to say, no, you judged everybody when you knew that they had that freedom. And no, you wrote them off as if they were all compromises. And the reality is you judged your brother. Why are you judging your brother when you knew that you weren't supposed to be doing that? You didn't cut him any slack. You just called them all compromises. You have to stand before God and give an account for that on that day. So my point is, since here's the text, here's the scriptures on these things. Each man, as the text is saying, has to be convinced in his own mind. Now, since I know that, and being pastor, I'm going to give you that space to be convinced in your own mind. I'm not convinced in my mind, and convinced in your mind, but before the Lord. You're not going to stand before my judgment seat. I don't have one. You don't stand before his. I got to prep you to stand before his. I got to prep before to stand before it is. I got to make sure what I'm doing, I'm not getting out of my lane and becoming pontifical towards you and controlling you where you know, from the slave of me now. Or on the other hand, don't warn you about anything. No, this is a text. This is what we're called to do. So this brings us to our last little point, which is the last question, which you brought up a little bit already. How am I loving my neighbor by being vaxxed or not being vaxxed? Because I'm called to love my neighbor. But my neighbor doesn't control my conscience. Christ controls my conscience. So all of a sudden, I'm running across one of these weaker, stronger situations where I get a person, my wife ran across one where she works, where, you know, it came, I guess she, you know, she asked the question or something, hey, are you vaccinated? And she said, no. And she said, I don't want you coming to my classroom. Kind of like, pushing her out, have anything to do with you because you're not vaccinated. Now, how my wife responds to that? I mean, she has to respond in such a way saying, okay, what am I supposed to say? Do I put her in a place? Do I kind of, you know, call her names? Do I kind of just say, I'm just going to turn away, turn and walk away? Do I try to engage in some of this, you know, back and forth along these lines? You probably got 30 seconds. A lot of times it's just one of those sound like kind of deals that just kind of let it block. But that's one of the, I got four boxes here to check. The first one is whenever decision you make, the vax or unvax, has to be what? Informed. You've got to know why you're doing what you're doing. If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you're not going to talk about it. Second thing is you have to do it out of faith and not fear. You're doing something out of fear, you're not going to talk about it. Third thing is authority. While we're submissive to the authorities, I'm not in a fetal position with the authorities. And so I cannot be controlled by men. So this whole idea of authority, I have to be in total control of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm not doing it, number one, because the government says I have to do it. While that plays a part, that's not why I do what I do, okay? And then lastly, I'm doing these things knowing I live in a social community that my decisions will, you know, have effects on others, my family, my kids, my wife, my husband, my work, neighbors, other Christians, whatever, and what I do, I must do, and clear conscious knowing that I do believe, stand before God, I'm doing this, and I'm loving you by doing that. I have no animosity. I'm not trying to spread the COVID. I'm not trying to get anybody back or cough on them or something. No, I'm just trying to, I believe that this is where God has me to not be vaccinated. It's the most loving thing for me to do to you for me not to be vaccinated. So I think we have those four things kind of summarized in tonight's little discussion time. I think that kind of helps. Yes.
I'm open for correction. But for me, I want to think, you know, it's love God first, then love your neighbor. I'm not going to have some unbeliever out there tell me the opposite. The point is, I believe that if you love God properly, ergo, you will love your neighbor properly.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly just to extrapolate, just to go, I started down the road there, and it's the thing about knowledge, there's vexation, a sorrow to the soul. A person some of us have a more immediate focus on things. I live in a family. I've got two elderly in-laws. Would it be, from their perspective, if that's all I had to consider, would I get the vaccine? That's a question. If that's all I had to consider, if I didn't have work, if I didn't have a government that was going tyrannical on me, if I didn't have a greater concern than just the immediacy of another person's health, but I had a concern for the future of a whole nation and civilization. I'm going to make it sound hyper, glory, but there is a greater concern here for me that many folks really don't see, and that is the issue of freedom.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, when he went into that temple, and he sat down and he platted a whip. He made a whip. He didn't buy one from the dollar store next door to the temple and take it in there. He made the whip. To the glory of God his Father, he went in and used it on ungodly men and drove them out of the religious institution that they perverted and corrupted and were leading them to hell by, right? Okay. That was the context that everybody did. That may not have appeared immediately to someone as a loving thing to do. That wasn't taking the vaccination. That was perhaps looking beyond the vaccination. Now, okay, let me take that statement back. That's neither. But it was looking to perhaps something that's not quite so legal. But it is more permanent, it is more long-lasting, it's more consistent with the foundation that all this intermediate stuff is supposed to be resting on. And that's liberty, freedom, a government that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us to obtain for the happiness and welfare of our neighbor, which is loving. So anyway, there's bigger,
Let's pick on your old paradigm of the senior citizens, the elders that you were talking about, this group that you were going to maybe go around. You still would have to go through the four boxes. In other words, you still would have to have an informed mind. Even if someone came and said, Rich, look, they've got these people in this nursing home. They are ripe for the gospel. They will believe on Christ if you go in there and preach the gospel. But you got to be vaccinated.
Then vaccinate.
But wait, no, you stop. My point is that you can't say that. Yeah, point is you still have to go through. My point is, first of all, you got to go through the informed box first. What happens if we find out it's the vaccinated people who spreads the corona? So you're going there in love, but you're doing something that's impractical. So it's like you still have to check that box to say, even though they'll listen to me if I'm vaccinated, I might be doing something horrible for them. I got to still check the box.
That hypothetical bothers me in the sense that you're saying that we now know that these people will receive the gospel, receive the Lord if you come in.
I know.
We don't know that.
And we don't. That's right.
The gospel preaching is, just as much under the sovereignty of God that Rich was speaking about earlier this evening. So the hypothetical situation there just falls apart.
But wait, if I'm on a hypothetical, I'm not finished with that. Because that's my whole point. It's too simplistic. That's the point I'm trying to make. When someone says, hey, if you just do this, you'll get this result. If I stop, it's too easy to say this cause and with this effect. Kind of like blame what you're saying here. So you still, when I say go through the boxes, you still have to say, wait, I have to make a decision before the Lord about getting vaccinated or not, which is the Lord's decision with me, not them first. And so consequently, am I doing something out of fear? Am I doing something? Are they the authority now? The seniors over here in the nursing, no, just like the government, isn't it? They aren't either. Am I doing really the loving thing? So when I come through that and then say, okay, this is what I believe I need to do, and it's the right thing to do, like the Tom says, then, because I know I don't have the outcome of what's going to take place simply because I preach the gospel. Nobody knows that. Then I go and I make that choice, vax or not, and then go into that situation. So it doesn't matter whether it's seniors, whether it's people who are anti-vax, pro-vax, you can't even have a job, whatever. Stop. I still, at the end of the day, like it says in Romans 12:14-10, I have to stand before God and give an account for my vaccination. And whether I
surmise, I'm going to get vaccinated because it'll help this person, or I'm going to not get vaccinated because it'll, wait, stop. That's not your first consideration. It's still God. I still have to put God first on everything that I do. And then the loving thing is, when I get to that person, then I'll be doing the loving thing for that person. Whether they're saved, they're lost, preaching the gospel, then I'm, and then everything is in its proper order.
And that's why Paul said, above all things, keeping a clear conscience.
Exactly right. And then that's where the real, that's the last one, the real love for the neighbor comes in. So if I get pushback from a neighbor thinking that they accuse me of not loving them, for example, or whatever, sorry, they can think that all day long. I know if I'm standing before God, I'm doing the most loving thing for them at this moment, being unvaccinated. And I can defend that. I can defend that from the scriptures. I can defend it from my information. I'm not fearful. I'm not coward. You know, whatever they say I'm going to do. And I'm not persuaded by any kind of authority that they might have, or any kind of government might have, or whatever kind of expediency authority that might come out. If you just do this, you'll win the lottery. I mean, think about that. If there was a guarantee saying, Rich, you know, you take this shot, then I can guarantee you you win that $1 million lottery. Think about that. I'm bribing you to take something based upon money. So all I know it pushes your buttons, man. They need to throw the law today. Based on name. Based on name. Why? Because they knew, this is what sold it. They knew that if you veto this, or you go against the governor, what's going to take place? These big industries like the Super Bowl and NCAA, they're not going to come to New Orleans and give you the $150 million revenue for that weekend that you're going to get. Money, you won't get that money if you don't acquiesce to the bigger guys down here who control all these sports venues. Now, you don't want that to happen, huh? No. So keep the laws on the books, what the governor said, and then have this transition. I'm just picking on that to show you that men have motivations. You can see it. Men in power have motivations. And it's just like it says in Revelation 17. That's the harlot that rides the beast.
Right.
That harlot, the sensuality of money and sex and power and all that, that's what drives men to make the choices they make when they're in fields of power. And eventually, the beast turns on the harlot because it's always a reoccurring thing. The thing about evil is evil will turn eventually on itself. Eventually, the feminists are going to put up with the transgender people. LGBT, you're going to have some of those keys and some of those letters are going to turn on one another. It's just how it works. Evil turns on it. And so, on one hand, you get the popcorn out and you watch it, but then on the other hand, you realize that's just how it is. The picture in Revelation, no way, that's God's word. And so, when he says this is what drives these kind of governments, is these kind of harlots that do these things, I shouldn't be surprised. They weren't surprised in the first century. We shouldn't be surprised in the second. So, it's not going to drive us. No one's going to ride our back. To say, well, you'll lose your job. I feel a harlot whispering in my ear.
Right.
They're whispering somebody else's ear. I'm going to follow King Jesus. Yeah, but how are you going to make ends meet? That's between me and Jesus. He said for me to trust him, and that I'm in marketing. He's in supply. That's how this corporation works. Called the Kingdom of God. I'm not supposed to be in supply. I don't worry about money. I have to worry about marketing. I have to be a testimony to his glory. He's supposed to be taking care of that. And if you do that, then everything is as it's supposed to be. Easier said than done, like Tim shared about the judgment starts with the household of God. But this is where it's going to start. It won't start with the vaccine and non-vaccine. It's going to start with the most basic of premises of what it means to serve King Jesus, Christianity 101. And so having that clear conscience, this is the way, like Paul says, I serve God the way my forefathers did. We serve him, God, the way Paul did, the way the forefathers did. We have a clear conscience, and we have our conscience based in the Word of God. But we make informed decisions out of faith, not fear, not being afraid of being slave to men, whether they're in power or whether they're in power or they're in nursing homes. It doesn't matter how you can be enslaved to a man. You can be enslaved to a spouse. You can be enslaved to a child. Well, my kids really want me to get the vaccination. So what happens is if I say Biden really wants you to get the vaccination, I wouldn't get it. But if your kids say they want you to get the vaccine, what gave them the authority all of a sudden now over your conscience to get the vaccination? I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm saying you're getting played and you're not seeing it. The manipulation part. You're not guarding your conscience, at least going through the boxes and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do now? I mean, my kids are different than Biden. Doesn't mean they carry more weight, but they should than Biden. But at the same time, at the end of the day, God's got to be Lord of my conscience, not my kids, even if they ostracize me. for Biden to be arrested. I don't care. This is what I have to do. And I think if we do that, I think we'll have our testimony intact, and we'll have a reason to give to those who are not vaxxed, who are vaxxed, who want for us, and we can witness with that. So I'm done. Anybody on Zoom before we?
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Yes. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. One of the things that bothers me a lot is persuading someone one way or the other to get the shot, because you could persuade them not to get it and they end up with a virus. I'd feel pretty bad about that. And or if you persuade them to get the shot and they die from the shot, then they feel bad about that. I don't know as Christians how we're supposed to say anything in regards to the vaccination, particularly since it doesn't have any sound, we don't have a sound scripture to quote them. So anyway, another thing bothers me too is if you go to church and infect everybody in the church, that'd be pretty bad too. So we got to be careful about that. We didn't get the shot, but go to church, we infect everybody in the church. Now what?
Yeah, I think you answered your own question. That's box number two. You can't do something out of fear. Well, I'm not going to come to church ever again because I might infect somebody. How do you know that's faith and not just acting out of fear? On the other hand, you can say, I'm not going to think about it at all. I'm just going to go there, and if I got it, I got it. They get it, they get it. They should be trusting the Lord like me. Well, that's box four, loving your brother. But the bottom line has to be, Lord, what would you have me to do? No, first of all, with the vaccination. Then number two, if he has your back and tells you, you know, what you need to do with a clear conscience, look, there's no regrets here. There's no regrets on any of the boxes. That's my point. You just go ahead and go forward. If people catch it, they catch it. If they don't, they don't. Okay. And you go from there. You know, but you were that super spreader. No, I just did what the Lord had me to do with what he told me and gave me by way of what I had, by way of information, what I had, by way of not being fearful and trusting in him, and the authorities that I wasn't going to listen to. I was going to put Christ first and then believe that I was doing things in love. You shouldn't have to hang your head on anything. That's my point, is that men don't control us before the vax. And if they catch the virus and they want to blame it on you, they don't control us that. Because you have to walk with the Lord. That's because we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Does that make sense? James, you there?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
It's still not, it's not a fear. It's just trying to use sound judgment. I'm not afraid of it. You can die from the shot, you can die from the virus. So what? I mean, we all gone to the Lord.
True.
And so it's not that. It's what it can do to other people, loving your neighbor. I would hate to infect my family, come and infect Barbara and Jan, or anybody at the church or anyone. So that's what I was talking about.
Right.
Again, we have a responsibility also.
Right. And most people's answers are practical like that. I just want to see more of my answers saying, I just don't want to disobey God and have a defiled conscience. We start there. And then from there saying, yeah, I don't want people to catch this. And yeah, I don't want people to do that. And yeah, I don't want to be enslaved to men like this. Yeah. All those other things that come as a result of that, everything's in order there. So God comes first. And so maybe our language should change and we put that out there first, is all I'm saying. Anybody else? Please?
I can't tell you as long as you got that mask.
Appreciate you bringing that up tonight, Mark. I don't have all the answers.
We live here. I mean, you know,
yeah.
This is getting, once again, they're trying to wind it up, to wind it down, to twist it up. So we're going to, we do live, you know, that. We live right under the area of the talk.
People are going to lose their jobs. I mean, I've seen them already. Oh, really? And people are going to, it'll come to you for counsel. You know, what about this? You know, what about that? I mean, what happens if classical school says everybody has to be vaccinated? You know, I'm not teaching it. Or is it one of those, what? That helps everybody? Okay. I mean, I can see people doing both of those, but to me, that's not the final answer. The final answer is, what would God have me to do with that? I might push back, not on the vaccination part. I might push back saying, how dare you tell me that I have to have this? I mean, that you cross the line on your authority. I'm pushing back simply because you crossed the line on your authority. You can tell me I have to wear a blue shirt. Everybody's got to wear blue shirts or whatever else there might be in a classical school or any kind of school or job or Turner. It's like, I'm going to push back on that because now you've gone into draconian mode and taken away a liberty that I feel, by God, I need to have protected. They might not have anything to do back then, but the principle's the same. And if you don't see there's a common thread on the things that are being jeopardized there in your walk with God, whether it's vaccination, whether it's dress, whether it's something else, then you're going to be kind of in a quagmire when it comes to making those kind of calls and decisions. So.
The people responsible for the most deaths of COVID by risky behavior did not lose their job. And we're talking thousands, tens of thousands of people responsible directly for them dying. And not one family member, well, I think one family member is taking the government to court.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the judge up there that's going to rule in his favor because we ain't the people anymore.
And that's what lost people do. They're totally inconsistent, totally hypocritical. They don't do anything right. We get that. But it doesn't mean it's right. It just means that you can definitely see through their argumentation, which is from the fallacious stuff. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us with these things that we've come to understand maybe tonight. Father, thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who is your wisdom. We thank you, Father, that you have given us of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we have his mind. We seek, Father, to glorify him in everything, Father, in our lives, especially keeping a clear conscience in this area of vaccine. Help us, Father, to do the right thing before you. And how that might shake out for one might be different for another, but help us, Father, so that on Judgment Day, brother who I am watching being judged, who didn't get vaccinated, hears the well done, thy good and faithful servant, and the one who did it hears the same thing. And Father, that we're trusting in you. We're leaning on you, having your mind, basing our lives off of your word. Help us, Father, to love each other, to be patient with one another, that help each other. Father, we thank you for this discussion tonight. First in Christ's great name, we pray.